The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We're back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Wednesday, 31 July 2019. And what do I see on my screen? Let me take this call before I go to story. Tim in Wyoming. Hello, Tim.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. I almost had to laugh when you were saying you wish you were born black, and then the song came on. It sounded almost to me like we must make America black, but that was I'm joking, of course. But, sorry.
You know what we were discussing during that last top of the hour break, Tim, Mike, and myself.
Slavery. If I remember right.
No.
Yeah,
during the break that you didn't hear.
No. I don't.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, Mike said, I don't wake up and go, geez, what a glorious white man I am. Who can I oppress today? He said, I don't even think about race. I don't think of myself as being white or other than black or other than Chinese or other than Japanese or other than, I don't know, Alaskan Eskimo or anything else. But we're being reminded constantly that we're prejudiced.
Of course. Yeah, we came here and enslaved all the people when Amerigo Vespucci was here first, but Columbus is always put up as a bad guy. So, he was a slaveholder, et cetera, et cetera. And I live in a community with a lot of natives, so I'm close to one of the very large Indian reservation, and they of course don't celebrate Columbus Day or anything like that, but they like to tell us how they were here first, etc. They treat us differently than we treat them, possibly. I try to treat them all the same. Not that I hate them all or love them all, but they're all the same. Just like I'm whatever color I am, and I don't think of that. I don't think of hair color, eye color, anything like that. You're blue, you're green, you're orange, and you're different. No, everybody's the same.
You know, isn't it funny that the fellow human beings are the ones who are being persecuted? I'm waiting for one of these crackheads to say it's God's fault. God made black people and white people. God made white people. there's your crime. I can't wait for that one.
Blame somebody, right?
You got to blame somebody.
Yeah, not my fault. Oh, well. Okay, that's about all I wanted to say, but I haven't had a chance to send you a donation yet, but I'm planning on doing that later tonight. My money just came in, so I can do that. So
very good. From your hands to my hands to the people that got their hands out to me, and they're waving frantically right now.
Oh.
Thanks.
Hopefully they're not waving the red flags or torches. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Tim. Bye. Appreciate it. The amount of anti-white hate across the nation by blacks, barely covered by the local media and largely ignored by the national press, is truly astonishing. There was one FoxBaltimore.com on July 30 of this year, that's today, shots fired, suspect says, I don't like white people in my hood. But you sure do like their money. Come on, brother. What's wrong with you? But this is a story of a black serial killer who targeted white people in Kansas City. That's Missouri, folks. Effectively, it was kept under the radar for 3 years by the national media. Now, this requires consideration today. Her name was Karen Harmeyer. His name was John Palmer. His name is Stephen Gibbons. His name is Michael Darby. His name is Timothy Rice. His name is David Lennox. They were murdered. These are the dead people. They were murdered by a black man motivated by anti-white hatred. A serial killer who would still be targeting whites along Indian Creek Trail had not been apprehended. For a year, the walking and biking trails snaking through South Kansas City, Missouri, were plagued with bloodshed. Beginning in August of 2016 and continuing deep into the next year, the bodies of hikers, dog walkers, were found dead along the city's Indian Creek Trail or on nearby roadways. They were all shot. They were all middle-aged. They were all white. The killing stopped after the August arrest of Frederick Scott, a 22-year-old Burger King employee. I guess he liked it his way. As the Washington Post reported in September, Scott, who is African-American, had allegedly threatened to shoot up his high school and kill all white people. Last fall, Scott pleaded not guilty to three slayings, the deaths of Karen Harmeyer, 64, John Palmer, 54, and Stephen Gibbons, 57. I guess you just want to go after the white people that can't fight because they're too damned old. He was a suspect in three additional deaths, and on Friday, a grand jury in Jackson County indicted Scott in connection with them. The victims, according to the Associated Press, Mike Derby, Timothy Rice, David Lennox. Scott now faces a total of 6 counts of first-degree murder and 6 counts of armed criminal action. I don't know why they keep piling on these charges. I think 6 counts of first-degree murder ought to do it. What do you think? We're thankful he's off the street and hopefully will be held accountable for what he has done. Mindy Lennox, the David Lennox's daughter, told the Kansas City Star, I don't know, for me personally, that there is any closure. Nothing can bring my dad back and nothing can take that pain away. But at least knowing that the person responsible will be held accountable, it will certainly be helpful. After Scott's arrest, local news outlets dug up the alleged past threats regarding race. In 2014, Scott was a student at an alternative school when he allegedly threatened to shoot the school up, Columbine style. According to a municipal court document, he also spoke of wanting to kill himself and to kill all white people. You know, I can say something obvious. If you chose to kill yourself, then you wouldn't have to go kill white people. They'd still be alive. In the book Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War, we learn the unsettling truth seemingly invalidating the title of the book. 82-85% of the interracial crime involving white and black people is black-on-white violent crime. Okay? There is an astonishing level of consensus, at least among scholars, on the fact that almost all the interracial crime that does occur in the United States is POC on white. What the hell's POC on white, Mike? Person of color. Oh. You just say colored people, you're in trouble? What am I supposed to say? Other than white? Person of color. Well, that doesn't describe. I mean, a person of color can be somebody that fell in an ink vat at work. Okay. POC on white. That sounded like a sandwich or something. In the representative year of 2008, 429,000 black on white violent crimes and only 91 white on black violent crimes were recorded by the FBI. Wait. In the representative year of 2008, We're going back, what, 11 years here? 429,000 black-on-white violent crimes? And only 91,000 white-on-black violent crimes were recorded by the FBI, and the proportional breakdown of interracial offenses by race was nearly identical during the 2012 and 2015. Tim Weiss, anti-racist activist who provided the figures just given, estimates that 82.5% of the interracial crime involving blacks and whites is black-on-white crime. The FBI would seem to indicate a race war is actually taking place, albeit an undeclared one, when 82.5% to 85% of interracial crime involving white and black people is black-on-white violent crime, where a white man indicted for targeting and murdering six black males and declaring his intent to kill all black people, he'd be a household name. He'd live in infamy. Movies, television series, books would be written to remember his victims. And the white man's actions would be taught in schools across the country as a reminder of just how pernicious all white people are across America. His actions would be deemed representative of all whites. As it is today, Frederick Demond Scott is a name few people know and fewer are aware of, that he targeted six white people and murdered them for just being who they were. Wow. You know, and this kid, Fox 5 News out of Philly. Oh, geez. Kennedy Heights, Ohio. WKRC, a man accused of firing shots at four people in Kennedy Heights neighborhood. He turned himself in. Devontae Allen, 18, faces four counts of felonious assault. Police say Allen was caught on video chasing after the four people on Tyne Avenue on July 25th. He's accused of firing three shots at the victims, hitting two different vehicles the victims were in. No one was hit. Let me stop and digress for a second. Can you bring up that story about the two black activists that were shot? If you would, please, thank you. According to court papers, he can be heard saying, "I don't like white people in my hood." That's on the video right before firing the shots. Police say Allen turned himself in Monday night. He had an audio tape statement admitting to shooting at his victims. However, he said they were armed and fired at him first. Well, of course they did. Yeah. Enterprising white people going in the hood waving guns. Yeah, that's what I want to do for Friday night entertainment. Police say the video and statements from the victims and witnesses contradict Allen's claims. He's appearing in court today, by the way. Did you find it? I'm sorry? Well, put it on my screen. I don't want you reading it to me. It's not on my screen. There it is. It's now on my screen. These were two moms working to end gun violence in Chicago. Have you seen any of the NFL commercials talking about gun violence in Chicago? I'm looking at that little campaign and I'm going, you know, why is it I don't see any pictures of any NFL players walking the hoods in Chicago? Along with maybe some black preachers of the local church. You know, we get to inject a little bit of God in there, a little bit of football. Oh, man, that's almost heaven, isn't it? But they're not doing it. Well, these two did, and they paid for it. Shavonda Andrews, two women who worked with a group called Mothers Against Senseless Killings to try to stop gun violence in their Southside Chicago neighborhood, were killed by bullets that police don't believe were intended for them on the same corner where they would often hand out food and bring children to play. The gunfire on Friday night was instead meant for a man who was affiliated with a Chicago street gang and recently got out of prison. This is according to police spokesman Anthony Guglielmi. I actually think I said that right. The 58-year-old man who was struck in the arm in the shooting and whose name hasn't been released is not cooperating with police. We have no information to suggest they were intended targets. adding that police are still seeking leads in the case and no arrests have been made. Now, the deaths of 26-year-old Chantel Grant, and 35-year-old Andrea Stottlemyre in the Inglewood neighborhood served as a grim reminder of the kind of violence that led them to join Mothers Against Senseless Killings, the anti-violence group launched 5 years ago following the shooting death of another young mother on the same corner. That's why we're out here 7 days a week, trying to create a safe place where people can learn to be neighbors and not kill each other, said the group's founder, Tamar Manisha. She said she's not willing to accept the notion that Grant, a mother of four, and Stottlemyre, who had three children, were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. They killed mothers on a corner where mothers sit every day. You don't have mothers killed in place that is sacred to mothers and not take that as a message. The drive-by shooting followed what has become a familiar pattern in Chicago. Now let me stop and digress here. This is well known. They've been doing it for a year. Everybody in the hood knew who these mothers were and what they were doing. And the police are indicating that they don't think that this was an intentional murder. This was just a drive-by shooting and they just happened to get in the way. And that's how the story reads. The drive-by shooting followed what has become a familiar pattern in Chicago, where more people are fatally shot than any other city in the U.S. Though homicides have decreased in recent years, are on the pace to drop again this year. What, are they running out of bullets or black people to shoot? There have been 281 in 2019, and as of July 28th. So, take solace here, folks. Only 281 people have been killed in Chicago in the first 6 months of the year. Double plus good. And during the weekend in which the two women died, notice I said, during the weekend in which the two women died, 48 people were shot in the city and 8 of them fatally. Jeez. Boy, anything to deflect criticism from Detroit, huh? The 23-year-old woman was shot in the leg, back and face on June 25th by someone in a black vehicle in the same block where Grant and Stottlemyre were gunned down, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. The woman survived, and police said there is no indication that shooting was connected to the one that killed the two mothers. Of course. Grant and Stottlemyre were found lying on the sidewalk after a spray of bullets came from inside the blue SUV. Well, I'm sorry. I thought you just said someone in a black vehicle. Now it's a blue one and a very... But you guys can't get anything together. The founder said the woman had been on the corner for hours Friday, handing out food to other mothers and keeping a watch over the vacant lot. The group had turned into a play area for neighborhood children. Wow. What a good idea. You know, folks, do you remember? We used to have maintained basketball courts and tennis courts and things of that nature. Remember that? We used to have parks we could go to. You didn't have to worry about being killed or shot at or a random bullet from some crackhead's SUV. You didn't have to worry about it. Because that kind of stuff didn't happen. She said that Grant and Stottlemyre had finished up for the day and had begun walking to a store to get food for themselves and their children when they were shot. They can't even walk to the store without getting killed. They were killed for parenting. And I would say it very simply, they were killed for caring. What do you do about situations like this? I don't know, but you got to bring the heat in whatever form, fashion that is. Whether it's hiring extra cops just to patrol the hoods, or getting the preachers with some NFL players, I don't give a damn how you do it. But the message has got to be sent out there, enough is enough. Stop shooting and killing yourselves.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out at school? That's what they said the Constitution was about.
Oh yeah. Kenny in New York. Hello, Ken. A day without Ken is like a day without sunshine, and down here we could use no sunshine because it's 104 frickin' degrees, Ken.
Oh, boy. I you know, the humidity gets me more than anything else. But fortunately, I'm riding in an air-conditioned bus, but as soon as you step outside, you start to get vapor lock.
Well, down here, Texas is big enough, we have two weather patterns. If you live towards the east side of the state, kind of like in Houston and Dallas, you get that wonderful, hot, moist air off of the Gulf, and the temperature is the same in Houston today as it is in Austin. But we're minus the humidity because we got the southwest stuff coming up from the desert that's pretty damn dry, 30% humidity, if that. So we've got different weather patterns. The state of Texas is so big, we got two weather patterns here. And we're on the dry side, but it's a dry heat, Ken.
Dry heat? Yeah, we're typically like 65 to 70% when it gets what they call muggy out here. I'd like to focus on the word of for a minute, because I think about a week or 2 weeks ago I started hearing a congressman or a congresswoman of color. And I've listened
How many times have you used the word of where you said, I kind of don't feel good, or I kind of do feel good, or something like that? And then I listen to Ralph Winterode, and I start thinking about legal uses of it. And I was sued once back in 2012, and the complaint said, for the lawyer that was coming after me, part of the Attorney General's office said, I am of counsel to the Attorney General of New York. I started thinking about that, and I said, the word of means, doesn't that imply subservience to John?
Yeah, in circumstance it can, yeah.
Well, if you're constantly reminding yourself you're of color, it seems to me like you're constantly reinforcing the idea that you're secondary to your color.
Well, and you know, Ken, I've always been fascinated by this hyphenated I'm African American, as if somehow being African American is superior to being any other kind of American. I don't know.
It's an insult.
It is.
My grandparents didn't want that. I'm not an Italian American or an Irish American, although I'm a little of both. It never occurred to me to put that in front of it. It just doesn't.
Your guess is as good as mine, Ken.
And I have another idea. I think people should think of white as being a more inclusive color than they realize, because what happens when you put white light through a prism?
It splits into this rainbow of colors. Be careful, Ken, where you're going here.
Well, and then what happens when you put black through which I don't think is a color?
Well, no, that's
nothing happens.
That's the absence of color.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess brown isn't too far behind, so.
Well, you know, what's being cooked up now, I mean, I have you been accused of being guilty of saying if you're white, you're all right? Brown, man, you might be able to stick around, but if you're black, you definitely got to go back?
It sounds snappy, but no, I've never.
Believe this or not, I kid you not, at Media Bypass, I'd actually, from Thomas, I'd bought Media Bypass's quote-unquote network. They had a few people that they produced live shows. And those are the days where it was really janky and we had Radio Shack equipment. It wasn't worth the powder to blow it up with. Well, there was a couple, a black couple, that was doing a program on Media Bypass's network. And the day that I was there, I'm kind of cocking an ear to the background noise and these guys are talking. And I hear this guy, and I had to jump in on his show. He wasn't at location. They were just producing it there. Where he made the statement that, get the hammers and nails ready because we're building the boats and we're repatriating back to Africa. Now, I got on his show. I said, could you please repeat that? And he was nice enough, and he did. And I said, so you're for repatriating blacks back to Africa? He says, yeah. He said, all this whining and crying how much white people hate us, why the hell would we want to stick around here? I forget
did
the guy.
Did he really mean it?
No. Well, I don't. I question him whether he really meant it. He says, well, I don't see any other solution, do you? And I said, well, I don't. I said, I personally don't have a problem here. I said, what we're talking about is those hyphenated Americans that think that they have special dispensation, that every time that they look at me, somehow I get the feeling that I'm lower than dirt because of my skin color. By the way, I don't like white. You know, when a white person's white, that means you need a little bit of sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like having a little color once in a while, but I don't obsess over it.
Are you trying to tell me once you go black, you never go back? What are you saying here, Ken? Ken?
Hi.
You're going to get in trouble here.
Good night, John.
Good night, Ken. Say good night, Gracie. I like this guy. Oh, Colorado restaurant staff proudly open carries handguns. Wow. You mean I can have ham and eggs and I can be looking at a babe with a weapon strapped? She gets an extra tip for that.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Shooter's Grill in Rifle, Colorado. You gotta love the name. The restaurant staff proudly open carries handguns. Now, this is highly entertaining because this is an ABC News piece. Just listen to the story. They just, wow. Chicks with guns serving food.
You're about to enter a restaurant where you probably want to make sure to tip well. At Shooter's Grill, open carry has nothing to do with takeout. Almost all the waitresses pack heat, publicly and proudly. They say it makes them safer, and that's apparently been good for business, and probably bad for anyone thinking about dining and dashing. Here's ABC's Clayton Sandell.
Now, you heard that opening, right? Dining and dashing? This is an admission that, yeah, people feel safer when they got guns and criminals feel threatened. But that wasn't part of his narrative, now, was it?
Every morning, Lauren...
Okay, and then I stopped and then I get the damned ad. My apologies, folks. Can't help it.
Bovert starts the day with some blush, fixes her near-perfect hair, and puts on her sparkly belt. But she is not fully dressed without her bullets and her 9mm semi-automatic. This is the way of life for Lauren, a 27-year-old mother of four.
Should it back up as soon as we start? Green's got a gun.
Ooh, okay, Green got missed.
Go slower. Ready?
Okay.
Green's got a gun. Pull it out, find the front sight.
Are you a good shot?
Generally.
So when she and her husband opened this restaurant a year ago in their hometown...
How was your meal?
The gun theme seemed totally natural. Lauren took it one step further.
I wanted to start carrying just for my protection. This is my establishment, so I didn't see anything wrong with that. I began to open carry, and then my girl started to approach me and ask if they could open carry as well.
They call the place the Shooter's Grill.
And of course, where else would you expect to find a place called the Shooter's Grill than right off the highway here in Rifle, Colorado?
Ooh, it is a very common thing here. We see people open carrying all the time. We live in Rifle, Colorado. It's a small town. It's a rancher's community. It is like the Old West out here.
Nightline ventured to Colorado's western slope to check it out. Inside, the place is packed and the waitresses packing.
What is this?
It's no. A Ruger 357 Blackhawk.
Good kick? I mean, is it...
It's kind of pretty hard.
Is that single shot or double action?
Nothing that I can handle.
And they are fully loaded.
Does anybody dare leave a small tip?
They still tip like normal people, you know? So, I mean, it's not like we're going to shoot them or anything if they leave us a small tip.
What's happening at the Shooter's Grill is an offshoot of a controversial movement started in Texas to legally and openly carry guns in stores and restaurants.
This is probably the safest corner in San Antonio right now.
But a growing number of national chains like Target, Starbucks, Chipotle, Chili's, and Jack in the Box have asked customers to leave their weapons at home. This has only enraged the open carry movement.
And, if I may suggest, hurt their bottom lines.
But here, the concept is turned upside down. Instead of armed customers, it's the employees.
I have a right to carry my firearm, and I'm going to carry it.
Or most of them.
You're not carrying.
Right.
Why not?
Because I don't own a gun. I wish I did, but...
Are you the only person in here that doesn't own a gun?
No, there's a token hurt.
So you're the two holdouts.
Yep, getting there. We haven't jumped on the bandwagon yet.
Okay, all right. Why not?
17. Okay. So I can't buy now.
The grill is so popular.
We're from Nashville, Tennessee.
Food sometimes sells out, but most people we met didn't come hundreds of miles for the burgers.
We're from Nebraska.
Featuring names like the Guac 9 or the Swiss and Wesson.
What made you want to come in?
The guns.
I firmly believe that education and safe and responsible use of a firearm is perfectly fine in today's society.
But is it all just a gimmick?
My firearms have nothing to do with the amazing hamburgers we cook. Actually, the food that we cook is what started all this.
Over the past few weeks, Lauren's restaurant has gotten so much attention that a U.S. Marine supposedly called in with an offer to buy a gun for any waitress that didn't have one.
He called in from California and asked our owner if there was a girl that he could buy a gun that did not have one yet. So I got it like 3 days ago, maybe?
3 days ago.
Yeah. It's a Kimber 45.
Of course, not everyone is thrilled. From Facebook and social media posts wishing harm to Lauren and her employee.
Now, what the hell does this have to do with some anti-gunner blog? I'm sorry, I digressed.
Random phone calls at the restaurant.
Shame on you.
To actual hate mail.
Hope God punishes you for what you are doing. Hope that you and all your patrons will kill yourself.
Pretty harsh.
That is pretty harsh.
Then there's Colorado itself, which, after all, is a state that's seen its share of gun violence. The massacre at Columbine High School.
That was the weekend before he was killed.
And 2 years ago, Dave Hoover lost his nephew, A.J. Boyk, at this Aurora movie theater.
2:30 that evening, went to bed, and Teresa called, my sister. She calls, screaming on the phone. I picked it up, and I said, what's going on? What's wrong? She says, I don't know where AJ is. I said, he's at the movies. She says, turn on the TV. Get up, turn on the TV, and that's when it hit me. I went, oh, my God.
AJ was one of the 12 people killed that night.
By the way, AJ's father that you just heard speaking, was a policeman.
Hoover argues the Shooter's Grill is glorifying gun culture.
This is America. They're allowed to do that. But you can't glamorize the gun. The gun will never be a glamorous thing. It's just an object.
Hoover has been in law enforcement for 3 decades. He worries that when shots ring out, more guns equals more confusion for police.
I don't know which one's the bad guy, which one's the good guy. I know I'm going to engage the one that's closest to me. And I hope to God that's the bad guy.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You hope what? Your police training doesn't tell you who the bad guy is? Well, let me give you a hint here. It's the guy that's pointing a gun at you. You're pretty much... Okay, the statement is, I don't know who the bad guy is. Well, the bad guys know who you are, and the good guys that don't look like the bad guys but aren't in uniform like you are not going to be pointing their weapons at you. So that narrows it down pretty much, don't you think? I'm just saying.
You never know.
People in Colorado, for example, like Aurora families, like Columbine families, who think that this is sort of a normalization of guns in America, which has got this violent undertone to it.
Mm-hmm. What's violent about it? What's violent about law-abiding citizens carrying a gun?
A lot of people don't want to be around firearms, don't want their families around it. This is not necessarily normal everywhere.
I think it should be normal everywhere. Yeah. You know, I think it should be a common sight, and I think we'd have a lot less violence if it was.
Lauren insists her employees and her customers are safe.
I'm more worried about my cooks getting burnt in the kitchen than a firearm going off in the restaurant.
Most businesses nearby don't seem worried by all those guns, but one shopkeeper across the street hopes the staff will know how to react if the worst happens.
The people who are carrying them, the employees, I know they've been through training. I know that they're legally able to carry the guns.
Yeah.
I just hope that if somebody happens to come in there and test them, that they'll be able to take care of things.
Or they come into your shop, lady, and they test you, and you're the only schmuck without a gun. Whoops.
But other than that, I feel great. I went there and ordered lunch today.
Lauren says all of her employees have to take classes and know how to handle their weapons. Even the local police chief says in rifle, things are different.
I understand why some people from the outside may see this as a little bit odd, but for here, it's really quite normal. They really stress the classes. No alcohol is served.
Okay.
So this business model that they have really fits in with the community.
And the burgers are good.
And the burgers are great.
And now this enterprising, joking reporter here, evidently he doesn't ask the question, what's your crime rate here in your little beautiful little town in Rifle, Colorado? He never asked that. Because you know what? In an environment of calm people with weapons, the criminal is the one that feels insecure. The criminal is the one that is outgunned. The criminal that generally disregards the law and is really a chicken, you know what. They prefer victims that are not armed. But places like this reminds me of that Georgia city. Remember the one that mandated that everybody that lives in the city carries a gun? You know what the crime rate and the murder rate has been in that town? What's the hell the name of that, Mike, in Georgia? Your memory's better. What is it? Kennesaw, Georgia. Thank you. God, you're just a walking human dictionary, aren't you? He never asked that question. What's your crime rate around here?
The national attention and nonstop business, not only for the restaurant, but for Rifle, has Lauren considering a possible franchise.
Uh-oh.
It sounds exciting. Maybe we would get a couple more restaurants going before anything, but there's been a lot of talk of it, a lot of people calling, a lot of people even demanding it, and it's actually kind of honoring that somebody want a piece of what we have.
Lauren and her Shooter's Grill plan to keep on serving seconds right along with the Second Amendment.
People call in all the time and tell me that this is not normal where they are and they would never patronize a restaurant like this. And I say thank you for your opinion. God bless you.
I'm Clayton Sandell for Nightline in Rifle, Colorado.
And good luck to you when your disarmed butt gets confronted with a criminal with a gun that doesn't care about your life. Yeah, good luck with that. Mikey, do you think a Shooter's Grill in Round Rock, Texas would fly? Well, now, I'm not suggesting Austin where you live. You and Austin have gone over the high side. Now, I'm talking Round Rock. You know, I'm talking Chisholm Trail here. Okay? Not the same as Austin. You know, you had to worry when... How long is the moniker Keep Austin Weird? How many years has that been around? 40 years? what they really meant is keep it wacky and keep it liberal. I'm going to have to call these people. Folks, Mike, I might have figured out the funding problem for Republic Broadcasting Network. I think I should be partners in Shooter's Grill here in Round Rock, Texas. But where am I going to get the investment money to start the restaurant? It always comes down to money, doesn't it? Yeah. I like it. These people, and again, the perception that's put out there. Oh, everybody hates guns. Everybody hates everybody else. Man. 800-313-9443. Nobody wants to talk to me today. By the way, you know that little rat problem in Baltimore? You're going to love this. Jared Kushner owns apartments in Baltimore, and the building's infested with rodents, mold, and maggots. I'm all over the place today, folks. This is what happens when you have too high a pressure and too high a temperatures. Let me see here. Uh-oh. Well, all that levity, and here's a sad one. Cops joke and laugh as they kill a handcuffed, innocent man who had called them for help. Dallas, Texas. On the night of August 10th, 2016, Tony Timpa called 911, asking police to help him because he had a history of mental illness and he was off his medication. He's the one that called 911. When police arrived, I have one of those little pop-up ads, you know, the ones that everybody just so desperately loves. When police arrived, Timpa was already handcuffed by a private security guard and was sitting peacefully on the sidewalk, asking police to help him. Despite being completely nonviolent and in handcuffs, 20 minutes after the police arrived, Timpa would be dead. He had harmed no one and had committed no crime. And Timpa, 32, predicted his own death. He says, "You're going to kill me, you're going to kill me, you're going to kill me," he screamed as the officers surrounded him. After kneeling on his back, I don't know, who the hell writes this stuff? Dallas News is writing this after kneeling on his back. How the hell do you kneel on your back? I can't even imagine what that might look like. Shoving his face into the ground and literally squeezing the air out of him for 14 minutes, Timpa could no longer hold on to life and suffocated to death. His death would be ruled a homicide and three officers involved would be charged. The Dallas News received the body camera footage from that night and published the heartbreaking video this week. As the video shows, Timpa is compliant, in handcuffs, sitting on the ground when police arrive. He's already prepackaged. It's an easy pickup. Off to the Hooskali goes, or you would think. As the video shows, Timpa is compliant, in handcuffs, sitting on the ground when police arrive. As officers begin to surround him, though, the diagnosed schizophrenic became extremely scared. Still, he never once attempted to harm the officers. He simply begged for them to let him go. But police did not let him go. Instead, they would force him down on the ground, face first, and squeeze the air, the literal life, from his body. The more Timpa squirmed in an effort to breathe, the harder the officers pushed back. Timpa was then hogtied for trying to breathe. Does this sound familiar to you? Remember the big black dude who was selling cigarettes on the sidewalk in New York City? And the cops, to subdue him, choked and killed him? Remember that one? Sounds eerily similar. You know, we're just out there to keep ourselves safe. When we get a call, it's no guarantee anybody's going to be left standing once we get there. So you may want to reconsider calling 911. Well, I don't call 911 around here because these cops would show up sometime between death and rigor mortis, for God's sakes. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, have you heard of heavy metals? I'm not talking about the heavy metals in the junkyard. I'm talking about the heavy metals that build up in your body. Heavy metals in your body can make you feel sluggish, fatigued, and just plain off. Why not try Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com? Cleansing your body and making you feel great. No, not cleansing the outside of your body, but cleansing the inside of your body of intruders that sneak their way into you and set up an intruder camp. Life Change Tea helps remove unwanted intruder camps. Brew it, steep it, and drink in the results. Tastes great so you can create a new health habit. Our tea loves to help people. It just needs the chance. So order yours today by logging on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea, T-E-A, .com. Our Life Change Super Strength Tea is waiting. This could be a beautiful relationship. Take charge of your health. Order at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
Gotta take a little time, a little time to think things over. I better read between the lines in case I need it when I'm older.
Well, police didn't let him go. Instead, they would force him down on the ground, as I said, face first, squeeze the life right out of him. The entire time they're killing him, the officers are cracking jokes and laughing about their actions. Even after Timpa's body went limp and he was no longer breathing, they continued to crack jokes. It's time for school. Wake up, one officer says as Timba lies face down in the grass, dead. I don't want to go to school. 5 more minutes, Mom, another officer jokes. Despite Timba going completely limp and not responding to anything, the officers continue to smash down on him, all while joking. For good measure, an EMT responder shoots Timba with a powerful sedative, despite Timba being completely unconscious at the time. Moments later, Timpa's lifeless body is strapped to a gurney as cops continue joking. He didn't just lie down there, did he? Did we kill him? One officer says, another one jokes. What's this we stuff about? Moments later, the EMT tells the officers that Timba is dead. One officer says, sorry, we tried, as he turns off his body camera. Nancy in California. Hello, Nancy.
Hello.
Hi.
So I think you've heard that certain police precincts are sending the men over to Israel to be trained.
Did the story yesterday, dear.
Okay, well, I happened to miss that story, but anyway, I was just exerting myself, so I'm a little out of breath. Sorry about that. But so I think that they create a division between the people and the our so-called leaders, starting with our politicians. They're given status, wealth, kind of like a nobility, where there's this division. They can look down on us, the media, who is controlled. It's not an American media. The American media gives them all these accolades as long as they're good little boys and girls. But if they're not little good little boys and girls, the media will turn on them in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And badger them back into submission and being good little traitors.
Well, just in case you're interested, you have a computer at home?
I do.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Second story down on the news column, U.S. police routinely traveled to Israel to learn methods of brutality and repression.
Makes me so mad.
Nancy.
We're going to end up being treated like the Palestinians.
Nancy, do you...
In our own country.
Nancy, do you live anywhere near L.A.? It was Mr. Gates, your mayor out there, that started this stuff. And under the guise of protecting police officers' safety, you know, you take fellow officers with you, and if we're on a drug bust, you know, we need to kick that door in to prevent the suspect from destroying the evidence. Oh, and by the way, this keeps the officers safer while taking them directly into a potential fire zone with people being run up on by heavily armed police. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Nancy, I appreciate your call. We're out of time. And she just hung up. Wow. That'll do it for us today, folks. At the end of the month, did you send in your donation? Please do. Please do. Support the network so we can go for another day. I'm going to spend a little time in the balance of this week with things that you don't think are really happening that are taking place because people are actually getting motivated. Thank you for being here. We'll see you tomorrow with another edition. The National Intel Report.
Media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.